Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnu Sahasranam, name 298. Kama. Krishna is Kama, Krishna is desire. This might come as a surprise to those who study Bhagavad Gita and find therein how strongly Krishna decries karma. So everything has to be understood in context. Karma is very powerful. Where does that power come from? That power to drag spiritualists from their position after long periods of austerity and penance for the sake of spiritual realization, and then by the power of calm they can quickly be fallen from that position. It binds the whole world. Must be very powerful. So that power comes from Krishna. The name coming up, two names after this, is the name Prabhu, which literally means one who is very powerful. So the power of karma comes from Krishna. It's not independent of Krishna, although it seems to work against our Krishna consciousness. But actually, in one sense, it works for the sake of Krishna consciousness, because to be Krishna conscious, one has to choose to be. One has to choose to love Krishna. And for those who don't want to be in Krishna consciousness, then Maya Devi, the external energy of Krishna, facilitates their not being Krishna conscious. So she separates the devotees from the non-devotees. So a very, very powerful. Karma also means manmata, kandarpa, called in English Cupid. The idea of Cupid comes from a Greek, the Greek god of love, who is Kamadev, what the Greeks called. In the center of London, a statue was erected, still there, at the height of the British Empire, when the British Empire was most powerful all over the world, in the capital of the British Empire. And, oh, actually, Cupid is the Rome, his Latin name, is it not? And yeah, because that statue is there, in the heart of the British Empire, the all-power, seemingly, not all-powerful, but highly powerful British Empire, of Eros, which means Cupid. That's the, just standing on one leg, shooting his with his bow, shooting the arrow. And in the Greek system, comes he has little wings on his back. So from Eros comes words like erotic, erotica, means who impels karma, lusty desire. So that's at the heart of the British Empire. It's all powered by lusty desire in various forms. And it's still, that area of London is still the heart of the area where people go every night, and especially on weekend nights, to enjoy themselves, which in their parlance means eating meat and going to movies and especially sex and all this kind of thing. That's what they call having a good time. And every Saturday, at least every Saturday night, our devotees go out there to chant the holy names of Krishna also. So this power, amazing power, yaya samohito jiva, by which all the jivas are completely bewildered, that comes from Krishna. It can't come from anywhere else. There's this idea in Christianity and Islam that there's a competitor to God called Satan. And all good things come from God and all bad things come from Satan. But no, all good things come from Krishna and all bad things come from him also. We find that in the beginning of the 10th chapter of Gita, Krishna says that Yash and Ayash, they come from him. All the good things and all. But the bad things, what is the bad thing? It means simply absence of Krishna consciousness. And then all good qualities become perverted. Love becomes perverted into hatred. Pure desire to serve, which means desire to serve Krishna, becomes perverted into material desire, desire to enjoy one's senses. So the name before this was Kanta. He's a lover. So he is, or he is the lover. Yeah. Kanta means who incites desire, who pursues desire and who incites desire. Krishna desires the company of beautiful women, and beautiful women are attracted by Krishna. When we say beautiful women, we don't mean these conglomerations of blood and bones that in the material world are mistakenly considered to be beautiful women. Beautiful women means the spiritual forms in the spiritual world. So Krishna, he incites the desire. Everything about Krishna is attractive. So everything about him incites desire in all living beings. All living beings are prakriti. All living beings are female in relation to Krishna. And at the same time, he becomes attracted. You might say, well, he is desire, so how does he become attracted? That is by his hladini shakti, his potency of bliss. Bliss means love. So his potency of bliss, he himself comes under the sway of that. So he's a very playful, delightful playboy is the term. He's a playboy. Lampat, that debauchee, you may say. Again, these all the bad terms, if you apply to Krishna, then they become good. What we consider is bad in this world. If we say a thief, a cheater, a liar, yes, Krishna is the supreme thief, cheater, liar. But everything with Krishna becomes simply increasing the transcendental bliss of his devotees. There's nothing bad in that. Krishna steals, and people, if someone steals from us, we feel, I'm cheated. And we feel very bad. They stole from me. But if Krishna steals, the devotees feel very happy. Krishna goes to the houses of the gopis and steals their butter, and they protest to Mother Yashoda, but actually they're very happy. So Krishna steals, he cheats, he lies, all bad things are desirable in connection with Krishna. Whereas in this material world, even the so-called doing good, that's also useless. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't help anyone ultimately. So he's a lover, he incites karma, he's a very playful person. We don't discuss this often, but it is a fact that he steals the clothes of the gopis. He's very playful. It's not, we don't recommend anyone to imitate this. You can do that. So he's very playful. He'll talk in joking words. So he may say then, why are his devotees following all these rules and regulations and being all strict and got to get up in the morning? Oh, I don't want to get up in the morning. I want to sleep. Well, Krishna, he also gets up in the morning. He dances all night and then just has a few minutes rest. And he also has to get up in the morning because those who are looking after cows, you can't sleep all morning. The cows, they need looking up. They have to be looked after from early in the morning. So that's why Krishna gets up early in the morning. So devotees, they follow rules and they have philosophical... What's all this philosophical talks? Well, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada, in paraphrasing Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, says that the philosophical talks, they're as good as dancing in the Rasa Leela, because it's all on the same spiritual platform. For us, it's more appropriate to have philosophical talks about Krishna than to attempt to join the Rasa Leela. Anyway, it's ridiculous. We can't join the Rasa Leela because it goes on anyway for a night of Brahma, so we wouldn't last. We have to have a spiritual body to engage in it. Otherwise, after maximum 20 minutes, we'd all be finished. So Krishna, he incites desire, but his devotees, they follow regulative principles. He doesn't follow any regulative principles. The only principle that Krishna follows is that he acts for the satisfaction of his devotees. That's the only rule he follows. He can break every other rule. He doesn't even mind. So why devotees follow so many rules? One reason is because of karma. In the land of prema, there's only this rule. The devotees act for the satisfaction of Krishna, and Krishna acts for the satisfaction of devotees. That's all. No other rules. But we are in the land of karma. We aspire for prema, but we still have to be cognizant of the fact that we are influenced by karma. And that karma is the enemy, in as much as where there is karma, there cannot be prema. So that has to be overcome. That's anyway intelligent, because yehi sangsparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate adyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddhaha. Indulgence in trying to fulfill our desires simply causes suffering. So if we indulge in that, then we have to suffer. So the rules are there for two main purposes. One is to restrict us from indulging in karma, which is very powerful. It takes away our intelligence. Haranti prasabang manaha. It takes away the intelligence. And unless there are rules, then if we think, if we don't have rules to follow, we think, well, I'll just do as I like. We'll be carried away by material desire. We may think, well, I won't follow any rules, but I'll just serve Krishna. I'll just love Krishna as I like. That we'll be carried away by wrong desires. Then, there's one reason for the rule. Another reason for the rule. In the rules, there is vidhi and nished. Nished, that is a prohibition that stops us from, that restricts us from engaging in activities that are harmful to ourselves. Stops us from indulging in mundane karma. And there is vidhi, this should be done. So that these rules, they help us to develop Krishna consciousness. One thing, don't do this, don't eat meat, don't gamble, don't have illicit sex, don't have intoxication, don't associate with non-devotees. and so on. And do this, chant Hare Krishna, hear about Krishna, serve Krishna. So there are different rules. But the result of following these rules is that we become free from material desire and infused with spiritual desire. So karma is always the principle. It's just a matter of purifying that desire. If we don't have purified desire, then we have to suffer in this world. Therefore, material desire is a great enemy. So Krishna is our enemy? No. Krishna is karma. Karma is our enemy. Is Krishna our enemy? No. We are our own enemy. Because we don't take Krishna as he is. We want to take his karma in the perverse sense. We want to enjoy the kingdom of God without God. We want the bliss of Krishna, the bliss that is inherent in Krishna consciousness without Krishna. So that is an impossible desire to fulfill. Happiness means only in Krishna consciousness. Krishna is all happiness. So, vihaya kaman yasarvang pumans charati nispriha nirmama nirahankaro sashanti madigachati. Giving up all desires, living in this world, again, vihaya kaman, and then again, nispriha. Same thing is said for emphasis. Living in this world without any desire. That means nirmama nirahankar, without thinking in terms of I, me, and mine, I'm so important. Such a person can attain peace. Then, esha brahma stiti partha nainang prapa vimuhyati stitva syamantakale pi brahma nirvanam richati. So in that situation, that is the spiritual situation, in which one is never bewildered. And at the time of death, one can enter into the full spiritual situation. So this is, in other words, this is a requirement to enter the spiritual world. One has to be free of material desires. And as long as one has material desires, one mind is not peaceful. It's always flickering here and there. So peaceful mind, peaceful means the mind is fixed. This is all in the discussion of the sthita pragya, the one whose mind is fixed. So, this with any material desire means we can't go back to Godhead. We can't enter the spiritual world. It doesn't work. It's like putting in your ATM card, and it doesn't work. And putting it in, doesn't work. Something wrong. Maybe one number is wrong. Maybe half a number has become, the code has become somewhat damaged. It doesn't work. We can't go there. We don't fit in. We're not part of the crowd if we have material desires. If you have any slight desire, we can't go back to Godhead. That's a frightening prospect, isn't it? When we think, how many desires do you have? We don't even know. Even if somehow or other we could count the ones that are floating around in our mind, there are plenty others which are dormant in our consciousness. There's a whole cesspool of desires. Cesspool, you know what that is? It's when all the sewage gets collected. So it's like some, if you go in Bombay on the local train, you go across one area, it's just such a bad smell. So, this is our mind. We don't even know. There's so many bad desires. We have to become free from all desires. We should tell our coffee-drinking brahmanas that you may be doing very nice sadhana and everything, but there's no coffee in the spiritual world. Then they may desire to stay here. If there's no coffee, I'm staying here. Then you have to stay here. We have to choose. What does Krishna want? So it becomes a depressing prospect, actually. And what hope is there? Well, there is Krishna's mercy. He is Prabhu. He is very powerful. So he can destroy. We don't ourselves have the power to overcome these desires, but we can follow the process that Krishna gives to help us. Yeah, we should tell. There's all the we should tell them. You want bhakti? Coffee blocks bhakti. It's an anartha. It's not grossly sinful, but it's not spiritual. So, what do? We have to take shelter of Krishna. Krishna, the next name is Kama Prada. He gives desire. He's also Karmaha. He destroys desire. So we are very, very small. Krishna is very, very great. We have to take shelter of Krishna. And also, we have to understand that although these material desires are very, very powerful, they are the perverted form of attraction to Krishna, which is our constitutional position. It's not our constitutional position to be in Maya. It is our constitutional position to be in Krishna consciousness. But because we are in Maya since time immemorial, it seems like this is natural. But it's not. So the attraction to Krishna, that is more powerful. But we have to take shelter of Krishna very strong. We have to develop that attraction for Krishna by hearing and chanting about Krishna and avoiding becoming entangled in material desire. That's all summed up. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever is favorable for cultivation of Krishna consciousness, we have to accept. Whatever is unfavorable, we have to reject. Now Krishna is Kama. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. His beauty is such that the Cupid who bewilders all the worlds, his beauty is insignificant compared to that of Krishna. So Krishna is the next name, Kama Prada. He gives Kama. So how do we understand? He gives himself, he is Kama. If we want Krishna, he will give himself to us. But if we want him in the form of material desire, he'll also give. How do we want? Do we want the transcendental Cupid? Kamadev, klim kamadevaya vidmahe. We know that Kamadev, transcendental Cupid, with his transcendental love arrows. So we can have Krishna, or we can have material desire. Why does he send? If we're trying to cultivate Krishna consciousness, then why does he send this mundane desire? The answer is because we want it. To those who have no material desire, Kamadev doesn't come. The mundane Kamadev doesn't come. He's wasting his time. Those who are pure devotees, they have no mundane attraction. So, the material desires come because we want it. Well, what is that? We're torn in between two kinds of desire. The desire for Krishna and the desire for Maya. The desire for personal sense, gratification, self-aggrandizement, and so on. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness can be said to be a process of cultivating pure desire. Desire is there. We have to cultivate the pure desire and ask Krishna, please give me the desire to love you. And if we hear about Krishna and chant about Krishna, then naturally that desire should grow because that is our natural propensity to love Krishna. We should pray for that desire. Please give me the desire to desire you. So we have to desire to desire to desire. How many times do you want to take it back? Desire to desire to desire to desire to desire Krishna. And you can go on and on and on and that. He's also Kama Prada inasmuch as he fulfills desires. Whatever desire we have, it's Krishna that fulfills. Sataya Shataya Yukta Tasya Radhanami Hate. What's the next line? Tasya Radhanami Hate. Then anyway, Krishna says that people, they worship different demigods. I'm trying to remember it, but it's not coming. Tasya aradim labhate cha yata kama mayaiva vihitani. Krishna says that people worship different demigods and they get what they want, but actually it's me who gives it. So we get what we want. So we have to be careful about what we desire. He fulfills desires. Also, another meaning of the name Kama Prada is he gives himself according to the way that we desire him. So if we want him as Rama, then he presents himself to us as Rama. If we want him as Nrisimha, he presents himself in that form. If we want him as Varaha, he presents himself in that form. So spiritually, he reciprocates with the devotees as they like. Yeyata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva pajami ham. Non-spiritually also, we get what we want. Although we might not get it exactly the way that we want. We can't just make an order to Krishna. You do give me this and give me that. But he may fulfill it in various ways. So the next name is Prabhu, which has already come up. It's a very important name. It generally is understood to be master. It literally means powerful. So it's good to remember all these discussions of Krishna dancing with the gopis, stealing the gopis' clothes, being delightful, a cheater, a thief, and all this kind of thing. Then, all right, now just remember, he's the supreme master. Don't get out of hand here. Don't misunderstand. Krishna is the Supreme Master. He surpasses all. That's another meaning of the word Prabhu. He surpasses all. So he's most powerful. But how is his power exhibited? Generally we think of power as the power to create some massive edifice or to destroy or to dominate or conquer. We think of physical strength or some mystic strength by which God creates the universe. But Krishna dominates not only by these qualities. We think like that because we're in mundane consciousness and we think that powerful means physical strength or political strength. But Krishna, his main power is in his beauty, his charm, his loveliness. That's how he dominates. Not just for mundane people, they're interested in God. That we'll pit our God against your God and then we'll go to war. Christian God against Islamic God, and let's see who's the strongest. But Krishna, he dominates Ananda Chinmaya Rasatmataya Manasuya Praninam Pratipalan Smaratam Upetya Lilayatena Bhuvanani Jayatya Jasra Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. His blissful nature and pastimes are reflected in the hearts of those who always meditate upon him. And this way he dominates the world by his blissful pastimes. Hare Krishna. Any question, comment? So karma, either it can cause terrible distress if we indulge in mundane karma, or if we direct our desire toward Krishna, then that is the source of all sweetness and happiness. Anything first of all about today's class? Anyone? Then we'll go back to that. Nrsimha and Nrsimho, they're just different. It's in Sanskrit, the endings of words often change according to what comes next, whatever letter comes next. So that's just, well, that's got nothing to do with the class also. That you see, there's Krishna, Krishnaya, Krishnat, Krishne, Krishnaha, and all different forms. Krishnasya.
Generally we do it through spiritual master.
Channel our desire toward Krishna. We do it through the spiritual master. Well, we do it under the guidance of the spiritual master, but we also have our own personal relationship with Krishna. It's not that the spiritual master is a proxy Bhagavan. Jodhapi ama guru chaitanya radas tatapi jane ho taha chaitanya prakash. Both things are there. Although I know that my guru is the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the same time I understand that he is the manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So both things are there. But it's not that we take the guru as the supreme enjoyer. That training is there, how to serve the guru, as training for serving Krishna in this world.
And sometimes it becomes difficult to understand that our desire is in line with our spiritual master.
Sometimes it becomes difficult to know if our desire is in line with that of our spiritual master. Whether it's devotional service or not. Well, our own sincerity is the barometer. But that can be tricky also, because we may be tricked by our own rascal mind. So therefore we should be under the guidance of the guru. All these things, all these matters, what is our desire? Is it pure or not? We're talking about very subtle psychological conditions. And it's very difficult for anyone except Krishna to know actually what is the state of our mind, even for ourselves. So really we have to go on with faith that Krishna really is our best friend, and Krishna manifests himself in the form of the guru, and he helps us. That verse is there. Uddhava spoke that that Krishna manifests himself from within as the Chaitya Guru, Guru in the heart, and outside as the spiritual master to guide the devotees toward Krishna. So, yeah, okay. We're all off topic here, anyway. Okay, we have a question which is said to be in relation to today's class. So let's do this first. Channeling our desire, dovetailing was usually the word that Srila Prabhupada used. They're both are suitable words. Although channeling in modern English, I don't know how modern, but it's often used for invoking ghosts and all this kind of thing. Channeling desire, dovetailing our desire. Yeah, in an initial stage, that is there. Not that we have to come from the stage of doing what I want for Krishna, doing what I want and doing it in Krishna's service, to the stage of doing what Krishna wants. What Krishna wants me to do. Is what the spiritual master wants us to do. The spiritual master wants us to be Krishna conscious. How, why, what, and when we do, that's ultimately that's all a detail. Then, related to yesterday's class. Oh, last night's class. Yeah. Living in Mathura.
Yeah, but it's impractical in today's situation.
It's impractical in today's situation. But I discussed that last night also. Someone was awake for they woke up for a few seconds and went back to sleep again, and in their dream they thought, what's going on? Everyone else, you can ask anyone else because they seem to remember what the answer is to this question. Worshipping Krishna is higher than Rama or Vishnu. In one sense, yes, but we shouldn't try and judge this mundane. When we think of higher, we think better or superior to. Actually, Ram, Narsingha, Varaha, they're all Krishna. In terms of rasa, then Krishna is the Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the emporium of all rasas. But we shouldn't think that, oh, I'm not going to be a Ram Bhakta. Duh, that's really low class. I'm going to be a Krishna Bhakta. This way of thinking is mundane. Every devotee has their own personal relationship with Krishna. Srinate janaki nate abheda paramatmani tatapi mama sarvasvam rama kamala lochanaha. This Hanuman spoke that I know that Vishnu, the Lord of Sri Lakshmi, and Rama, the Lord of Janaki, Sita, they're the same, non-different, supreme person. But as far as I'm concerned, my all-in-all is lotus-eyed Rama. So it's a matter of personal taste, that's all. We can understand that complete reciprocation in all respects is with Krishna. Well, you know, even then, it's not that Hanuman is lacking anything, but in terms of rasa, then Ramya ka chiddu pasana vrajavadhu vargena ya kalpita. The worship of the gopis, that is the topmost form of worship. But we shouldn't think that there's something wrong or lacking or impure in the worship of those who approach the Lord in other forms than Krishna. That's a mundane way of thinking. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.